Well, this is the Larry Mueller Show on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Jill Nadeau, and it is Pet Care Day, and we're talking about introducing a new dog to your home, helping your dog to stop doing things that he shouldn't be. My dog's perfect. I don't need that, but I'm sure there's some people out there that do. But before we get there, it is also Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, and I've got Courtney Everett with me today. Hi,
good
Courtney.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's so good to see your smiling face, as Larry would say.
He totally would. That's funny.
Yes, he says that all the time, all the time. Well, in case you're wondering, your support is an essential part of funding for all the programs that you enjoy here on WPR. In fact, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, so you know how important that is. And this drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And this is our first member drive since federal funding was eliminated for public media. So Wisconsin Public Radio will continue to be your source for information, inspiration, and connection. But your support is more important than ever. We're preparing for the future, and that starts right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in case you haven't noticed, Wisconsin Public Radio is committed to quality, and that's why we have been around for more than 100 years. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR, that quality is possible because of you.
When you give, you're part of the outstanding news and information service you tune in for every day on WPR. Make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is personally important to you, it's personally important to me, and it's probably also important to you that everyone in the state has access to this really high-quality information and entertainment.
So become a member with a contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120 a month. And you're not only doing something good for yourself, you're doing something good for the whole community. WPR is listener-supported. That's why your participation is so important. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, Larry Mueller here. I'm away this week, but I want you to hear this from me. Listener support is the biggest, most reliable piece of the WPR budget. Everyone in Wisconsin has access to research-based news and informative conversations thanks to the support of tens of thousands of members. We really do count on you. Give now. Here's a colleague to tell you how.
I have a feeling Larry was doing that with sunglasses on and being really a cool cat. What do you think,
Courtney?
Oh, for sure.
And he should have said, I'm going to throw it to my best friend, Jill Nadeau.
Nadeau, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jill.
That's okay.
I've known her like 7 years.
Forever. Okay. But anyway, why don't you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. This is the Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Yeah, Courtney Everett.
Thank you. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for WPR, and that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount that you choose, has an important impact.
Giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, and that could be maybe $10 a month.
And that donation will come back to you every single time that you engage with our program. So show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
You might be wondering, how much should I give? Well, that's up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into programs that keep you informed and entertained all year long, just like the Larry Mueller Show.
Absolutely. Make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you. Remember, right for you. Don't you wish all of our bills were like that? Thank you for making an investment that serves your whole community.
And we have something special for you today. It is $12 Tuesday.
Ooh, is that like 12 tacos?
No, it is only $12 to invest and get your own WPR Canvas backpack.
Oh, it's so nice.
It is. Nice. And then you're, you know, wearing a statement with you also when you're walking around wherever it might be in Wisconsin. And this is your way of showing your support for WPR programs. So ask for that fund back, but you can only get it when you give $12 a month. And you can do that, of course, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, why don't you become one right now? It's really easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations to provide reliable support for the programs that you love. And you can do that from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Dyslexia kicked in.
Michael in Whitefish Bay says, I appreciate the great reporting and varied subject matter. Well, thank you, Michael. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So join Michael with your gift. It's powerful and really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you very, very much. And George Malara is here, and we want to thank him very, very much. He's here to answer your questions. He's a professional dog trainer and owner of Divine Canine in Madison. George has trained dogs for more than 20 years. And you look so young, George.
Oh, you know. Thank you so much.
And he's been a pet behavior counselor. He also volunteers his time and skill with other not-for-profit organizations and rescue groups. So what questions do you have about your dog? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Hey, George.
How's it going?
It is going wonderful.
I missed y'all here.
Yeah, we haven't seen you for a while. So glad, we're very happy that you could spend some of your time with us.
Love being here.
Yeah, well, great. And we were talking about all the volunteer work you did. You just came back from the Galapagos again, you lucky dog.
My third trip out there with Animal Balance. And we got to do a lot of really wonderful training and education and really helping people understand how to have their domestic dogs living in a really protected ecosystem because they can wreak a little bit of havoc. So educating people is the most important thing. Spay, neuter always, and giving them a free clinic that they can come and have their pets taken care of.
Are there a lot of people, a lot of pets on the
population
islands?
On Isabella is 2,000 people. Okay. That live there, residents. That's not talking about tourism and ecotourism.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And that could, like you said, wreak havoc, especially if their dogs are like my dog and gets a little crazy. So, yeah. Well, we've got questions and emails already. So let's just go.
Let's dig in.
Let's go to an email. We've got Deborah, and her dog is afraid of thunder and lightning. She scratches in the walls and pants. Can you help?
Poor baby. Those are tough ones. You know, this is where I immediately reach for pharmaceuticals. You know, it's nice to have pharmaceuticals at hand that can help regulate the chemicals in the dog's brains so that they can feel better about the thunderstorms happening. There's a lot of training you can do around that. Like, you can play sounds like off of YouTube. You can play sounds of thunderstorms and stuff at a low volume while doing training and giving them treats and stuff. But you can't really emulate the smell of a storm, the barometric pressure. So you can get a little bit done with that. But I always recommend having something on hand, keeping an eye on the weather, administering a fast-acting pharmaceutical before the storm hits so that the dogs can feel comfortable. And then, you know, making sure that before the storm, go for a little walk, get some exercise in, have a stuffed Kong or anything ready that you can give to your dog just to help soothe them a little bit more. And a lot of dogs like to, like, batten down the hatches, like, in your closet. Setting up a little sleeping area in there where it's, like, it's going to muffle some of the sound can be really helpful as well.
Okay. Now, is it true that as dogs get older, they tend to become more sensitive to thunder and lightning and large, loud noises?
You know, I'm not sure what the statistic is. Okay. I don't know if there's enough data that's been collected on the age of a dog. Mm-hmm. I know that some dogs, when they reach their golden years and they get to sundowners, you know, they could get sundowners, right. They can get confused. They can become maybe a little more sensitive if they don't know what's happening. But for the most part, if you have a dog that's sound sensitive, thunderstorms, fireworks, loud noises, they tend to be that way for life. You can help alleviate and trim it a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's something that's just sort of with them.
Okay. Because my dog, Seamus, hates fireworks. Mm-hmm. Absolutely so afraid of fireworks. But never had a problem with thunder and lightning. But we had a huge thunderclap right next to our house. And ever since then,
thunder and lightning, he can't handle.
Oh, yeah. And he made that transfer from the fireworks to the thunderclap.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
And,
so,
you know, from when, if I ever get a puppy from a young age, if there's ever a thunderstorm, I just like, anytime there's a big clap of thunder, I'm throwing hot dogs and I'm throwing cheese, just helping them feel that, like, wow, I hope we hear more thunderstorms.
Right. No, that's a wonderful idea. Now, speaking of new dogs, let's talk about introducing a new dog to your home. So there's a couple of situations, right? New dog, no other dogs, dog, another cat, right?
Very good.
A cat.
Yeah.
So how do we deal with those situations?
So let's break it down. So a lot of times people put the cart in front of the horse and they say, oh my God, I got this new dog. I got to socialize it. I got to take it out places and I got to go do stuff. We're going to go to the fair. They just want this dog to go out. And that could actually cause more harm than good, because that dog hasn't formed a bond with the family yet. So I tell people, first week and a half, just hang out with your dog, do a lot of hand feeding, even doing a little bit of training. You know, just, again, YouTube is fabulous. You can type in positive reinforcement dog training and you'll get a long list of great videos. But going online and just doing some training with your dog can help build that bond, so that when you go outside, and let's say your dog is scared of, I mean, we're in Madison, unicycles. So let's say your dog...
That's fair.
That's weird, right?
Yeah.
So the idea is that if your dog is scared of something, they're going to look to you because you've built that bond, and they're going to look for you for guidance. And you can either give treats around the scary thing and help create some distance, but again, they're going to look at you, as opposed to not doing that. And then your dog is like, I don't know who to turn to. I'm frightened and I'm scared. I'm going to run away.
That makes so much sense. Yeah.
And then now the second one with introducing a dog to a household with a dog. A lot of times if you're adopting a dog, the meet and greets that occur are done on somebody's property and they have the dogs meet. I like to take it even a step further. What I like to do is have the resident dog that lives that before the adoption, you swap out like a hand towel and you rub it all over the dogs, and then you swap the towels so that the dogs are smelling each other prior.
Sure.
And then the day of the meet and greet, what I do is I say the resident dog goes for a walk and leaves the house. The new dog goes inside and sniffs around and gets to sort of see the environment. And then that new dog leaves the house. The resident dog comes back and he's like, wait, who was here? And they're sniffing about and doing the thing. And then you have the resident dog come out, and then you go for a walk together. This way they've already sort of met.
And that's then, beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
Cats can be difficult.
Really? Oh, let me call the newswire on that one.
Cats can be difficult because there's different kinds of cats. Now, my favorite cats when I go to appointments is the dog cats, right? They're,
yes.
They're coming over. They're social. They're trying to get in my treat pouch. They're eating chicken hearts. They're just like cat dogs. Those cats, relatively, they generally do pretty well with introduction to a dog. Now, if you're ever not sure if the adoptive dog is going to be good with cats, sometimes the rescue is able to do a test where they put a cat in a kennel and they allow the dog to come up, and they can get a general idea of what the dog's intention is when they meet a cat. Cats are also really good at like dipping and dodging and hiding.
Yeah.
So, and again, I would probably do the same towel technique, and then I would probably have my new adopted dog on a leash, and maybe having somebody else hold the cat from across the room, giving treats, and then little by little migrating them closer and closer to the dog, until we know that it's safe for them to be interacting and sort of, you know, the dangerous part's over.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's usually the dog that gets scarred, though, right?
Cats are no joke.
Oh, no, they are not. Well, we are getting this wonderful advice from George Malara. He is a professional dog trainer and the owner of Divine Canine in Madison. If you have a question for George, please give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. And this is a Larry Mueller Show, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Najoe, and I'm here with Courtney Everett. And we're here to tell you that listeners, that means you, provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. This drive is your chance to support all the programs that you enjoy. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This drive is rather important, too, because you're likely aware that federal funding for public media was eliminated this summer. It's a challenge for all stations, including Wisconsin Public Radio, but we can keep WPR strong together. That's why your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, in the last segment, we just heard George talk about how difficult cats were. That was big news.
That was. Breaking news, right?
Breaking news.
They have very
unique personalities. I'm kidding, of course. But we just got so many great tips in just not even 5 minutes, and it's all free, folks. And that's all because you... WPR is a listener-supported radio station, and that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and all the hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and make your gift.
More than 27,000 WPR members are proud sustainers. That means they make ongoing monthly gifts to Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you, too, can provide a reliable stream of funding for the programs that you care about. Become a sustainer now. Choose an amount, say $10 or $20 a month. Set it up to be ongoing. It's so easy. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My life would be diminished without Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I wouldn't want to do without it.
It's just a comfort to me to have it on while I'm making dinner. And
gives you a whole different perspective on things.
Many, many times I've listened to the radio and it's made me laugh or cry.
Wisconsin Public Radio is
my source for connecting to the world.
For everything I like to hear on the radio.
For everyday listening.
Well, you can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation if you believe in what you just heard, and I'll bet you do. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm here with Courtney Everett. And your support during this fall member drive makes the network news, the conversations, the entertainment, everything that you enjoy on WPR possible. So your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever you choose, is the right amount.
The people of Wisconsin have access to amazing variety of topics. We're talking about dog care here on the Larry Mueller Show. We have classical music on our music network. And that's because tens of thousands of individuals and households choose to support WPR.
That's right. Wisconsin Public Radio works on the honor system. So join this team effort with your gift right now of $10 a month. You decide the amount and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We have a special offer today as well. Ask for the WPR Canvas Backpack when you give $12 a month or more. And you can wear it off, show your support, start those WPR conversations, and be part of the programs you value. This backpack is only available for $12 a month today. That is $12 Tuesday, so give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
$12 Tuesday. It's got a ring to it, but I wonder how they came up with $12.
You know,
I got to find out.
It's clever, and it's like, thank you, Tuesday. I wanted to say that as well, because we thank you for that $12 a month.
Totally makes sense. In case you're wondering what this looks like, you can go to WPR.org to take a look at it. It pops up right away. But it's got that really nice, the latest logo. That Grace brought came up with the cow and the violets, and it's about as Wisconsin as you're going to get.
It's a better bag than any bag you own.
I like that. Alliteration and everything. Write that down. And if you're a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day that you increase your support to WPR by $5 or $10, whatever amount you choose, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I love this next shout out we have is a listener in Illinois. So Elizabeth in Galesburg, Illinois says, I value what I learned from the Wisconsin-based programs.
Wonderful.
Going across the border. I love it.
We have a lot of fans around Wisconsin and further out. There's that guy down in New Zealand that I always like to call out who listens to Garden Talk. Bless his heart. So why don't you join Elizabeth with your gift right now? It's so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Well, George, let's go back to you. We've got lots of emails to go through right
now. Excellent.
So Phyllis in Windsor emailed, her adopted dog is about 9 years old. She has started to react by jumping and barking loudly at other dogs when they encounter who they encounter on their walks in the neighborhood. It's gotten worse recently, and Phyllis can't pinpoint a reason. She doesn't do this with other dogs when they go to the dog park, but she doesn't really engage or play with them either. So she's never really been social with other dogs except for friends' dogs and she spends more time with. What
to do.
So that was a really well-written email, because one of the questions that I ask when a dog is reactive is, do you take your dog to off-leash places where there's other dogs? And if the people answer, yeah, loves the dog park, then I know that it's not actually aggression, it's frustration. One thing I like to mention as a sidebar is when a dog hits about 6-7 years old, there's like a fast forward button on aging, and the dog will get older. That means any medical issues that can come up can be coming from that. So this could be a dog that is 9 years old that's starting to suffer from a little bit of arthritis, a little bit of back pain, a little bit of joint pain. And when so I always like to do a little medical check. Anything that comes, a fast onset of behavior, can be sometimes masquerading as a medical issue, a medical issue masquerading as a behavioral issue. Now, with that said, carrying some really, really yummy treats with you, and anytime you're on a walk, and she could be barking and lunging because she wants to go say hello, but it's still an inappropriate behavior. We want them to be a little bit better behaved. So what I have people do is, on your walk, you wait until your pup sees the other dog, and then we feed. The reason that's so critical and important is because generally people do three things. They wind up on the leash getting ready for the tugging. They nervously talk to a dog. To, you know, oh, look over here, don't look over. And then they use food as a distraction to not look. Eventually, the dog sees or smells or hears the other dog and starts to react. So the dog is learning. You are classically conditioning here, but you're conditioning the wrong thing. You're conditioning them because your dog's going to say, every time my human winds up on the leash, nervously talks or pulls out food, there's a dog here somewhere. I got to find it. Right. So by waiting for the dog to see the other dog, the dog is causing the treats to happen. Now, this is where we talk about, you know, well, what if my dog is barking? You keep feeding them. It doesn't matter that they're barking. And I know that sounds very, very, you know, counterintuitive. But you're feeding them because that other dog exists, not because they're barking. And what happens over time, so the first part of this is my friend Pavlov. And then we make a switch over to my other good friend, B.F. Skinner, operant conditioning. Mm-hmm. And what happens is your dog will see another dog and then go, oh, dog equals cookie. They look up at you and go, hey, pay up. I found another dog. And the barking will subside as well as that behavior. Mm-hmm. The other thing I love to teach around reactivity is arousal training. So you take some of the more calm behaviors your dogs know, like a leave it, a stay, a down stay, whatever it is. And you teach those behaviors, you work on them. And then you start to play tug or wrestle with your dog or play with them to create what I call synthetic arousal. So many times when dogs are aroused is when we want them to listen the most, but it's when they're able to listen the least. So we want to make sure that we create this arousal, and then we have them go back to the focus game. So you're working on stay, you take a little break from that, play tug, get them all lathered up, and then go back to the stay. They're going to struggle at first because they don't know how to manage those bigger feelings and the arousal. But over time, they're going to get better and better and better.
Okay. Question. So when you're doing that, giving the treat, there's another dog that your dog finally figures out and he looks to you for that treat. Do you always then give him that treat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you have to be consistent.
For the first while. And then later I have them look multiple times. I keep asking for more, more duration, more sustained behavior. And I keep asking for more. And you find that little fulcrum where they start to struggle a little. And then I'd work just below that.
Okay.
So we shouldn't have them, you know, the other big thing is food refusal. So here you are with the dog, and the dog sees another dog and is barking. You go to offer them something really tasty, chicken, cheese, turkey, roast beef, hot dog, and they're like, can't right now, don't want it. And what I remind people of is, imagine if Jill, what's your favorite food that you could eat 3 square meals a day?
Gosh, that's hard.
Tacos, pizza, and sushi are top three.
None of those. Okay. Oh, baked potatoes.
Baked potato with whatever trimmings you want. So imagine if you were in the bank doing some banking, and the bank was being robbed, right? People with guns, it's very, very scary and violent. And then I come out of nowhere with a beautiful baked potato. I go, Jill, you want a baked potato?
I would probably say, sure.
last meal.
Kidding.
Last meal.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't eat it right then and
right,
there, but
yeah.
Maybe later, right? Mm-hmm. So when a dog is aroused, sometimes food refusal can be a really beautiful bit of information for us, saying that they're over threshold and they're not able to think in that moment. So we create distance and we create more space and a little bit of time to see how they do with a little bit more space. If they still won't eat, more space, mm-hmm. until we find that sweet spot.
Okay.
trial and error, right?
Yep.
Okay. Sharon in Madison called. She could stay with us, but she has an 8-year-old Maltese that's incessantly barking. What can Sharon do to help the dog and herself, apparently, because that's a lot of barking.
You know, when people call me about barking, I always ask them, well, let's say, Courtney, you are you're the director of a movie and I'm your actor. And you say, George, I'm going to need you to cry in this next scene.
That's a lot of pressure.
What would you, what would I ask you as the actor? What's my motivation? Did my dog die? Did my mom die? Did I stub my toe? Did I win the lottery? Why am I barking? Why am I crying, rather? So for dogs, it's the same thing. So dogs sometimes bark when people get home. You know, my little dog, Suka, barks when my wife gets home. She's wah, 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 wah. You know, dogs bark at alert barking at perimeter breaches around the house. So you have to really look at why the dog is barking first to see what's motivating them. So if I had to guess, if I had to make an educated guess on a Maltese, it's probably perimeter breach barking at windows. So they like to perch up on the back of the couch with the big bay window. And here comes a mom with a double stroller with her babies. And you get off my property, you kids. I'm going to turn the hose on you. Right. And then the people leave. So the dog says, "Aunt, stay out." So the dog, even though nobody's giving them treats, they're still being reinforced by barking. So I tell people, manage the dog's environment. So not allowing the dog to rehearse the behavior. I always ask, what's happening the other 23 hours of the day? So if this dog is practicing this all the time, and the dog is really good at barking at things. So we have to make sure first we ask why the dog is barking, and then we figure out what type of training we do after that. So for window perimeter breach barking, sometimes you can get that frosted, like, little Klingons to block the windows. You could barricade the dog away from those windows so they can't get to the windows, leaving some radio on, right? WPR.
Absolutely.
Right. Dogs like learning about gardening from Larry.
They do.
So leaving something on in the background. And I also recommend, like, if you're going to listen to music, something with a heavy beat, reggae, something that's got that's really going to block the external sounds from breaking through.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good luck with that, Sharon. Hopefully that'll help. There's nothing so frustrating. Now, I bet you Sharon gets really frustrated too. So a lot of times the owner's reaction to what the dog is doing is making it worse, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, going back to reactivity, so I'm walking down the street, my dog barks at another dog, and I jerk the leash, and I go, "Hey, quiet, knock it off." And my dog says, "I know, there's a dog. Why are you?" Yes. I don't like dogs, but you really don't like dogs. Let's bark together.
Yeah, yeah. So be careful.
Yes.
Yes. Jessica emailed us, writing to ask what supportive care she can provide for her middle age rescue mix that has low platelet counts.
Not a veterinarian, so I wouldn't be able to really answer anything around that. But if there's dietary restrictions or, this is a little above my pay grade.
Yeah, for sure.
But working with your veterinarian, and if your dog has special needs, there's always some sort of training you can do. If the dog needs crate rest, you can teach them how to be really comfortable in their crate, and you can work, like dogs that have like different types of orthopedic surgeries, we go ahead and we work on crate games, and we work on them learning to be still and playing little games, like teaching them how to rest their chin in your hand, like cooperative
yeah,
care stuff.
Yeah.
And I always teach cooperative care around anything that my dog might need in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So like crate games, my dog is great in a crate and she doesn't sleep in a crate regularly. But once in a while, I'll put her in the crate just to remind her what it's like so that if ever she hurts herself and she needs to be crate rested, it's not one more thing I have to deal with.
Sure. Oh, that's a really good idea. Because unfortunately, that can happen.
Yes.
So, Lori emailed us. She has a 6-year-old Maltipoo that is a constant licker. Oh, paws, carpeting. The paws also smell like Fritos. Well, that's what they smell like,
yeah.
Lori. I love that smell, actually. Mm-hmm. Weird. She's heard there may be a yeast problem. Any ideas for change in food or other behavioral techniques that she could use?
And this is one of those things I was talking about. It's a behavioral issue because there was a medical issue first. So if they're incessantly mm-hmm. licking and itching, you know, I talk a lot about, making sure that, you know, wiping your dog's feet off, especially these little curly haired, long haired dogs. They're like Swiffers and they pick up all that pollen and all the stuff from the yard. And then when they get home, they start to get itchy from the allergic reaction and they'll start to lick. So I tell people, like, you know, having a little paw plunger where you can like rinse off their feet, or even using like a hypoallergenic baby wipe or something, just to get some of that pollen and allergens off. But I would definitely work with a veterinarian first, because if it's yeast or if it's a fungus, it's easily treated with medicine, and that might be what you have to do first. And the licking might take care of itself if you take care of the issue.
There you go.
The medical issue.
All right. Thank you. Steve in northern Wisconsin, you are up next. Go right ahead.
Hi. I've got a 1.5-year-old golden retriever that is a very good dog. But when I'm walking him either on leash or off leash in the rural area I live in, I meet someone and start a conversation with them, the dog will all of a sudden start mouthing me and jumping on me to get my attention. What can I do to work on that behavior?
That's a big toddler behavior, isn't it? Right? Like, mommy, mommy, tugging on the apron string. Pay attention to me. So what I would practice is teaching your dog to do a sit stay or a down stay. I prefer a down stay because it's a little bit of a stronger behavior. And you practice this, and you recruit some of your neighbors. Have them walk past your house, and you'll have your dog on leash, and then have him lay down. And while he's laying down there, that's the first thing you're going to teach, is just having him lay at your feet. And you're going to give him treats on the floor, on the ground, just for building a little duration and teaching him that this is what we do. Then you invite somebody to come over and start a nice conversation with you. All the while, you're paying him for being quiet when he's laying at your feet. And then you start to feed less and build duration on how long you're speaking to your friend or neighbor. And then you start paying when you, right before you feel like he's getting a little fidgety. And that's the idea of like pushing almost to failure, but working just below it. So you start building tolerance to frustration. Now, I'm not sure if you were listening earlier, but when somebody's, you're speaking to your neighbor or friend, he's going to get more aroused. He's like, why isn't anybody paying attention to me? Like, come on. This is the dog show. We want to make sure that you're playing tug with him and then teaching him how to do focus behaviors as well.
Okay. Well, good luck, Steve. Have fun with that. Golden retrievers are so lovely. We're talking with George Malara. He is a professional dog trainer and the owner of Divine Canine in Madison. If you've got a question for him, give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. We're talking about pets today, dog behavior in particular, but it's also the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I am Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Courtney Everett. And as a WPR listener, you know you'll always hear something interesting when you tune in, and that's thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs, period. When you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
Right now is a pivotal moment for public radio stations around the country, including Wisconsin Public Radio. That's because federal funding was eliminated this past summer. And although that funding was not the biggest piece of our budget, you are. And that loss is still significant. So this is the moment to step up and keep public media strong in Wisconsin with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here on The Larry Mueller Show, we focus on how to make your life better every day, from practical advice to topics that affect the community to really good books you should be reading. We talk about wildlife.
Dog tips.
Of course, best. We talk about dog tips. Every month we talk about pets, interesting things that maybe go on at the university, in the state, health issues. We cover everything, even sports, because Larry makes me. But... It's funny because it's true. For example, you know, today we're doing dog tips.
I know. You do your favorite shows while he's gone.
Always. Yeah.
That makes complete sense.
Pretty much.
And you, of course, can make the show possible, just like we were talking about with, you know, these dog tips. And you could be part of the conversation. You can call in. We have callers calling in, like I said, and you're able to give them advice. Where else can you do that other than WPR?
Exactly. It's so important. And think about what you spend money on every day. It really adds up. I mean, it's little things. Nothing's really cheap anymore, unfortunately. But it's easy to spend on things that are just part of your routine.
And Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine, too. It's the news sources you're looking for, that conversation starter. It's your place to learn. So spend some money on it today and start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Makes me feel very good to be a sustainer.
Makes me feel like I'm a part of what's happening.
I know it's a valuable service.
I like being a sustainer because it helps contribute to the Wisconsin idea.
I like being a sustainer because I just like knowing that my money will be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio for years to come.
Well, you can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation for this fall member drive. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm here with Courtney Everett. And we would hope that you will join in with your gift right now, because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
If you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before, we're especially talking to you this drive. We have other ways of contacting our current members, but the best way we have to contact you, the listener, who maybe hasn't given yet, and is through these drives.
That's right. And if you've been listening for weeks, months, years, and haven't donated before, why don't you make today the day that you become a proud WPR member? You'll feel great when you support the station that you rely on, and WPR programs will benefit from your contribution. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Today is also the best day to give, because it's $12 Tuesday, and we have a special offer for you. Today only, you can ask for your WPR Canvas backpack when you give $12 a month or more. And of course, you can get a view of it on WPR.org. It's pretty snazzy.
Very snazzy.
And it shows that you support WPR programs that you value. And it adds this, you know, functional fun bag into your collection. So why not? Ask for yours today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you are not a sustainer, please think about becoming one right now. It's easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations to provide reliable support for the programs that you love. And you can do that from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Another comment across the border. This one is from William in Northfield, Minnesota. William says, "My dollars for public radio are some of the best dollars I spend." Wow, that says a lot, William.
It
we
really
appreciate
does.
That.
Yeah, and William's obviously an intelligent person. So
yes,
all
go
of
William.
Our listeners are. It's amazing. So you join with your gift, just like William. It's powerful and really makes a difference. WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we are going back to George Malara right now. And George, we have a caller. Tim in McFarland, what's on your mind?
Well, hello, ladies. Hello, dog trainer person.
That's me.
Well, I don't know.
I love it.
Thanks for calling.
I'm old.
I have to lower my voice.
No, my mind is... Yeah, thank you very much. Have a nice day. Goodbye. I want to share something with you that, you know, all of you are probably familiar with. There are magic dogs, you know.
Yep.
There are dogs that seem to pick up stuff like a sponge picks up water. You know what I mean? And I wanted to just share with you that I got a puppy years and years ago when I was driving a route for a laboratory. And I would pick up, you know, little test tubes and a sponge and bring them to the lab and so forth. And when I got the little dog, Cleese, who, by the way, is a Keeshond or Keeshond. I've never known the proper pronunciation. But they
the Viking breed.
Dutch. Yeah, there you go. But they're like the tiny little, really tough Viking breed.
Sure
and
are.
Anyway, he was the cutest puppy you've ever seen, and I used to take him with me when I would drive on my route. So he was very familiar with people. He was very familiar with sounds, with noises like that. And so I finally married my girlfriend, and we were going to move in together, and we did. And when we had it all done and we were sitting in our chairs and he was in the couch across from us, we just had an argument whether he should sit there. And suddenly there was a knock at the door. And Cleese, the dog, looked at us just as we might look at anybody else with a look on his face and said, "Gee, I wonder who's at the door." And so we didn't have the problem most people have of getting them to quit barking. We had the problem of teaching him to bark. So that was a very crazy thing, and he, after all, he did want it.
Everybody deserves a magic dog.
Yes, he was very, very intelligent. He knew that we didn't need any noise. We had to teach him to bark. So I wanted to share that. You guys have a good day.
Thank you so much for calling. Take care.
Thank you, Tim. I really appreciate that. How do you teach a dog to bark?
Frustration.
Oh, okay.
So you have a favorite bit of whatever, and you wait for any type of vocalization, a whimper, a little whine or something, and you just mark the behavior, yes, and you give them a treat. And over time, they'll say, oh, when I vocalize, I get the treat. Now, obviously, there's a long list of reasons why not to do this. One being, like, the dog's like, I bark and I get stuff. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure you put an off switch as well, which is, like, you know, quiet cue or just a thank you cue. Just enough's enough. Otherwise, they really find their voice and it can become unbearable.
Well, my dog did not bark for the first full year that I had him.
Wow.
I know. I've never had a dog like that. And then now only if somebody comes to the door. So he's pretty cool.
That's great. Yeah. And it's funny because I always talk about like my little dog, Suka, who barks if a leaf falls in the yard. And then Dolly, who will sit out the window and watch the bunnies and the squirrels and the turkeys, and she's totally quiet. But when Dolly barks, like, I listen, I take a peek outside, and generally it's like letter carrier, like there's kids like cutting through my yard or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank you, Dolly.
Yeah, I do that too. I thank him and, you know, don't get excited or whatever. So probably took that advice from you, but it seems to be working. If you have a question for George, we've got plenty of open lines here, 800-642-1234. And of course, you can always send an email. That's talk@wpr.org. Let's talk a little bit about chasing. So why do dogs like to chase people, dogs, cars?
When I talk about so it's a predatory behavior, right?
Okay.
It's like it's moving. They could be scared of it. They want to chase it away. So you have to sort of identify, like, why is the dog chasing? Is it based out of fear or is it based out of fun? Right? Are they enjoying chasing? So when it's a critter or an animal, it can be fun, right? Because they get to go through their very natural motor response. Chase, grab, bite, kill, eviscerate, consume. And they get to go through all the motions. Now, there are some dogs that will chase a critter and then they catch it and they're like, now what? They don't know what to do. So they spit it out and it's like nothing else happens. And this is part of the reason I work with Dane County Humane. They have me in to work with their campers, and I teach bite prevention for children. So one of the things that I teach whenever there's young kids under 9, when a kid gets scared, they scream and run. And the dog's like, oh, cool, I'm chasing you, I guess. And it's just this perpetual machine of horrible for the kid, right?
Yeah.
So what I teach the kids, you know, if a dog is ever chasing you, get near something very still, a tree, a wall, a car, and you fold your branches, your arms, and you fold your twigs, your fingers, and you tuck them in and you stand very still. Chances are the dog is not going to just bite, but you stop running so the chasing will stop and it buys enough time to get an adult in and grab the dog.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense.
But chasing is a very normal behavior for dogs. They enjoy chasing.
Yeah, I remember when I was 6, I ran and a dog bit me.
Oh.
And that was my dad told me, you shouldn't have run.
And I also take that behavior when they're puppies. It's a really natural behavior to teach an amazing recall.
Right.
So what I'll do is I'll just mush the puppy a little and I'll run away from it. And they're like, I'm chasing you. And they come and I grab their collar and give them treats. And you have an amazing recall in no time when you're working with a puppy because they're like, I love chasing my human.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, let's go back to the phone. Pam in Holman has a question. Go ahead, Pam.
Hi. This is perfect timing for me. We have two German Shepherds. One is 4 and the other is 13. And they're very well trained. They're pet therapy dogs and everything. They know our neighbor has 2 dogs and they play with them. They're good friends and stuff. But any time that they're in the house and the neighbors let their dogs out or even the neighbors just go out in their yard, our dogs just go absolutely crazy and out of their minds, and howl and everything to get outside so that they can stand on the deck and bark at the neighbors. And they bark forever.
Yeah.
Is there anything we can do to calm that down?
Absolutely. And this is where you can dip into your therapy dog program. training program, because they have to be able to ride in elevators with other dogs, and they're, you know, I don't know where you, where your dogs prefer to visit, whether it's a VA or a nursing home or a children's hospital, but when you, but they have to, all the manners that they have for when they're quote unquote working as therapy dogs, you can implement that for these moments. Now, I'm not sure how long you were listening, but I was talking about creating that synthetic arousal through play. So what you do is you take some of their still and stationary behaviors, like a down, a stay, a leave it, and you work those behaviors for a little bit, just warm them up, and then you take little breaks from that, and then you play with them and get them all psyched up and crazy, and then you ask them to come back to the focus game. So when they're out on the deck and they're barking, I would not allow that, so I'd bring them in the house. Now, if you're friendly with your neighbor, you can actually do training setups where you call your neighbor and say, okay, put your dogs out. They put their dogs out. Your dogs don't know that they're going out, and then you're able to start working them in that moment. So you have them do downstays, sit stays, or if they start barking, you can give them a gentle timeout in the bathroom for barking. And what I love about a multiple dog household is that the dog that stopped barking, you give treats to. The dog in the bathroom doesn't get anything. So when he comes out, he's like, hey, what'd I miss? You missed cheese. You missed the cheese. So really dust off, because, I mean, therapy dog training is pretty intense. You know, you probably, did you pass the CGC with your dogs?
Yes.
Wonderful. Yep. So the CGC test is tough. That's a tough test. So flex those muscles that they already have, and just polish up some of the training around arousal and the reactivity around, hey, I want to go play with my friends, because that's essentially like they have to stay in and do their homework and practice the violin while their friends are outside playing.
Okay, good luck with that, Pam. Now I have this image of a dog playing a violin. Didn't Chagall have a painting about that? Oh,
that was a goat. Gary Larson. Gary Larson, the dog sitting there with the violin where the dog's chasing the mailman.
You're right. Okay, that's why. Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious. Well, good luck, Pam, and thank you for having those therapy dogs. They do wonderful work,
don't
they?
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
Amazing. Well, this is Wisconsin Public Member Drive. It's fall already, folks, and I'm Jill Najoe, and I'm here with Courtney Effort. Excuse me. And we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of your time to support your WPR listening.
And we will be getting back to dog care, because this is a very interesting topic. But listener support, it does make up the largest piece of funding for the programs that you count on. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
That's right. George is going nowhere for the next hour. So, and you've heard us saying this before, listeners are the single largest source of funding for WPR. And this summer, federal funding for public media was eliminated, and making listener support then much more important. There are challenges ahead, but together we can keep WPR strong. So give now to support the programming that enhances your day at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
What better than the Larry Mueller Show as well to provide that information? Pam just called in from Holman, was able to talk to George. George was able to give that advice about the neighbors and the barking, and it's just so enriching, and you can get that here at WPR. It is listener supported. That means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
And make your donation even easier when you become a sustainer. Choose an amount that's right for you, just maybe $10 or $20 a month, and have it charged to your bank account or credit card.
When you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support is always current. Start your ongoing monthly gifts now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's a powerful way to support the WPR programs you love.
My life would be diminished without Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, I wouldn't want to do without it. I mean, from my lay point of view, it's beholden to no one. And it has people working for it who love radio and love what they're doing and love who they work for. You hope that people's character says, this is valuable to me, I need to support it.
You can give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I'm Jill Nadeau, and Courtney Everett's here with us. We're asking you to support the quality program that you value on WPR with your gift right now during our fall member drive. Your contribution of maybe $10 a month, or you can do $100 a month. We're not going to say no. Whatever amount you choose makes the difference for our entire community.
And you can become a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio. You could also take that important first step, and that is becoming a financial supporter.
That's an important step because WPR relies on listener support, and it's easy to donate. So give right now. We'll be back after the news with more dog info. Well, this is Pet Day on the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau, and we are talking about dog behavior with George Malara, who's a professional dog trainer and owner of Divine Canine in Madison. And George has been training dogs for over 20 years. And we do have one line open if you've got a question for George, 800-642-1234. But right now, we're going to talk about Wisconsin Public Radio's Fall Member Drive. And with me is Regina Bilotti. Hi, Regina.
Hello. It's great to be here.
Thank you for popping over from our sister public media. You're with the PBS Wisconsin.
Yes.
So let me put it that way. It's much easier for people to understand. As you know, and as our listeners know, the largest source of funding for WPR programs is from listeners like you. And this drive is your chance to support all the programs that you listen to throughout the year. Take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know, thanks to member support, Wisconsin has a robust public radio network with programs that inform, engage, and inspire. And with the elimination of federal funding for public media, member support is more important than ever. So your gift keeps WPR strong today and well into the future. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And a large slice of funding for WPR and the biggest and most reliable slice is listener support. So while all of our funding sources are important, your contribution makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing and varied service that is, thanks to your support, independent. We have high quality programs when we're on the air, so give when I can't read this, sorry. When you give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're like me, WPR is probably a preset in your car or at home or maybe both.
Guilty.
Right. You listen to WPR a lot. So help pay for the station that you enjoy so much and become a member today.
Make the switch from someone who listens to someone who listens and contributes. You can start with a gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hi, Larry Mueller here. I'm really sorry to miss out on Drive this week. It's always fun to ask for your support and offer you whatever great thank you gifts the Drive team has created. And this member drive is a big deal. As you know, Congress rescinded funding for public media, and that loss will have a significant effect on WPR's budget. With your help, WPR will continue to serve the people of Wisconsin. Make your gift today. Here's a colleague to tell you how.
That's right. His colleague is Jill Nadeau. And if you would want to give, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And I am here with Regina Barlotti. Sorry. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for WPR. And that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
And it's true. Every dollar does make an impact. And we know that you value your time and we value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes a few minutes. Tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It's quick. It's easy to do. And your gift right now, it really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station that you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And What do you typically spend your $10 on every day or every month?
I have no clue at this point because everything just comes out of my bank account. So
it's so true. And yeah. All the little things that make your day better. So for me, it was a coffee and a little sweet treat.
Nice.
But just like Wisconsin Public Radio, and with a gift of $10 a month, you can make a difference for the public service that you rely on.
And when you support WPR, you join a community of tens of thousands of people who give what they can for the programs that they value. So join in now. Give $10 a month or whatever amount is right for you. Every gift is powerful at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's $12 Tuesday.
Yay.
And we have a special offer for you. Today only, ask for the WPR Canvas Backpack when you give $12 a month or more. Support the WPR programs that you value and add this functional and fun bag to your collection. Ask for yours now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this is a deal, folks, so you should jump on it. And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations to provide reliable support for the programs that you love. You can do that from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Georgette says, I learn something new all the time when I listen to WPR, and I have to agree, so do I.
That's right. I think we all have that in common. We are all lifelong learners. So join Georgette with your gift. It's powerful and really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. And George, we have full lines because people have learned by conditional training that if they wait and are patient, they will be rewarded with an answer from you.
Here we go.
Julie in Madison, thank you for waiting. Go right ahead.
Hi, I have a 2-year-old rescue border collie lab, and we're training to do her canine good citizen. And she's doing phenomenally, including an emergency recall, but we're having problems having her maintain her stay.
Very okay. So, where is your struggle with the stay? Does she get easily distracted?
No, she's not distracted. It seems more that, you know, during the turn of the bath and the walk away, it's almost like she's got it signaled that she should follow you.
Correct, because she's following your shoulders. So here's the ticket. A lot of times when people teach a stay, they have their dog in a sit or a down, and then they walk away, and then when they're ready to continue, they call the dog to them and have the dog sit or down, and they reward. In their head, they're actually rewarding the stay, but they're not. So what I tell people to do is whatever distance you create from your dog, return to them and pay them for actually not moving.
That's an awesome idea.
because that way you're actually rewarding duration of the sit or the down. I also have omitted sit from my repertoire in teaching it. I think a down is a stronger behavior, especially when they kick their little hips out. So when you come back to them, you pay on the floor, so they orient to the floor, and they hold that down position. Now, when you're ready to start turning your back, what I recommend is, I call it the Maybelline, when you turn, but you're looking over your shoulder, so that you can maintain some eye contact. In the beginning, dogs struggle when we break that eye contact, and then they're like, oh, we're going that way? Cool. And border collies, they're so sensitive to movement, so they watch our shoulders. Dogs watch our shoulders when we move in whatever direction we're going to head. So it's really important that you start small, and Auntie Jean Donaldson, famous dog trainer, she says, she has three words when it comes to criteria: push, stick, and drop. So push means make the game, whatever you're teaching, make it harder. Drop means make it easier. Now, if you have to make it easier, you have to assume that your dog's made some mistakes. How many mistakes? Three. Three is like the good number, right? One mistake, no big deal. Second mistake, I'm watching you. Third mistake, I'm like, oh, you need help. Let me help you. If they make those three mistakes in a row, you shorten the difficulty. You make it less difficult and less distracting. After a little while, you start turning your shoulder and break eye contact for just a moment and then come back to her. And you'll start to see her build it from being rewarded for actually not moving.
Okay. Does that make sense to you, Julie?
That makes sense, because at the point we're at right now, she maintains a weight better than a stay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And sometimes that, you know, having a wait and a stay is a little convoluted. It's just like, it's just confusing for the dog because they're both the same thing. It's don't move until further notice.
I think I would have problems with that.
And I would also recommend teaching what's called an implied stay, meaning once you put them in a position, a still position, a sit or a down, it's implied that they stay there. So imagine you get pulled over by a police officer. The police officer doesn't say, pull over and remain pulled over. It's implied,
yeah.
Right? So the same thing for our dog. You just start rewarding for duration of the position, and your dog will start to hold it.
Okay. Well, good luck, Julie. Let's go on to Christine in Hayward. Go right ahead, Christine.
Hello, and thank you. My question is about my daughter's little rescue. She's like a mini poodle chihuahua mix, and she has this habit of being very upset and barking whenever anybody hugs. And at first we thought it was just like my daughter and I parting, that, you know, she would get really full on barking, very agitated. And we thought it was like a maybe resource protection thing. But anyway, she does it with anybody. If we're at a restaurant and people at another table get up and hug, she starts barking. And we're wondering how we can, train her away from that.
So thank you for calling. So a long time ago, I heard this sort of, and I'm still not sure about this, but it makes a little bit of sense. So when dogs are playing and they go chest to chest, ventral to ventral, it can be the start of an argument. So she might be trying to police stuff, but that's neither here nor there, just putting it out there. So one thing that I teach people when there's dogs that struggle with hugging or any type of affection, what you're going to do is you're going to have your daughter is going to have treats in both hands. You're going to have treats in both hands, and then you're going to hug whichever side the dog is on. They're going to throw the treats. So if when you're hugging your daughter, the dog is behind your daughter, you're going to throw the treats. And if she's on the other side, your daughter will throw the treats. So you start to the hug is going to be very, very short to start. And again, building duration on the hug. So you have two fistfuls of treats. You hug for 1 second, release the hug, and then, you know, you're giving her treats when you hug. And then you start hugging longer and longer until you're doing like a Disney hug where you don't let go until the other person lets go.
A Disney hug.
Yeah.
Okay, I learned something new today.
That's how I hug my daughter. I don't let go until she does.
Aw, so sweet.
She's 10 now, so I'm getting side hugs.
Yeah, I was going to say, enjoy those while you can. Well, thanks, Christine. Cecilia in Madison, you go right ahead, please.
Yes, I just had some information about the way I taught my Irish Wolfhound to bark. Which didn't work. I was living way out in the country. I was in my early 20s, and there was this loud banging on my kitchen door, way out in nowhere. So my Irish Wolfhound, at that point, was almost a year, never barked. So the bounding happened. So I went into the kitchen, and I knelt down by the kitchen door and started to bark, thinking I would model it for her, until I looked up and realized that my large window next to the door, there was two men watching me from the porch of my boss as I was barking at the kitchen door. So of the four of us, I was the only one to do what I meant to do. The wolfhound was distracted. The two men thought I was totally bonkers. And they asked for directions, which I gave, and then I could hear them laughing as they went back out to their trap.
Oh, my gosh.
Not a way to teach an Irish wolfhound to bark or not to get a reputation in the neighborhood.
You have the reputation.
So thank you for
thank you for sharing that story. That's fantastic.
Oh my gosh, Cecilia, that is fantastic. I love it. I can see a whole movie built around that one. Thank you so much. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Drive, and we're going to pop right into that right now. I'm Jill Nadeau, and with me is Regina Barlotti. I'm going to keep doing that A instead of the I. Okay. And we're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs that you enjoy, programs like this one. I mean, where else are you going to hear about, you know, Cecilia's adventure there? Support from people like you is the largest piece of funding for WPR programs. That's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
And as you likely know, Congress eliminated federal funding for public media this past summer, and this is a challenge. But WPR is committed as ever to all of the communities that we serve, and we can keep WPR strong together. So support the programming that you count on now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And there aren't very many places, if any, where you can call in and talk to a professional like George who knows what they're doing, can offer you advice, and it doesn't cost you anything. You know, it's really unique to public radio. And we are listener supported, so we can do that. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and make your gift.
A great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. And as a sustaining member, you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
That's okay. You know, you can keep going if you want, Regina. Many people give $10 or $20 a month. You choose whatever amount is right for you. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
I love that. So we had a rivalry now between us and New York. Well, I think I know who's going to win. If you want to vote for WPR, you just have to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I am Jill Nadeau, and Regina Barlotti is with us. Your support during this fall member drive makes the network, the news, the conversations, the entertainment, whatever you enjoy on WPR possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And maybe you've already made a donation this year or you're a sustaining member. Either way, thank you so much. And maybe consider making an extra gift of, say, $50 or $100, whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join in this drive and thank you for all of your support.
And so many people have really stepped up when all of this happened, and it just makes us so happy here to know that what we're doing for our community makes you happy and your support is with us. And we have that special offer today. So if you want to tell everybody that you support WPR, you can do so with a canvas backpack. When you give just $12 a month or more, it's a deal. You can wear it. You can show it off. This backpack is only available for $12 a month today. That's $12 Tuesday. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kimberly in Madison says, WPR is my most trusted source of news and information. Well, join Kimberly with your gift right now. It's so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And this is Pet Day on the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. You're listening to WPR News, and we've got George Malara with us again. He's a professional dog trainer and the owner of Divine Canine in Madison. George has trained dogs for over 20 years. We've got full lines, but if you'd like, you can give us or you can send us an email at talk@wpr.org. So, George, let's go right to those phones. And Burr in Lake Mills, thank you for waiting. What is going on with you?
Hi. Well, we foster dogs, and we sometimes have them from 3 days to 7 weeks. And when we leave them alone, a lot of them bark. And even if they're crate trained or if we leave them roaming the house, it seems like most of them will bark while we're gone.
And because what will happen in a situation like that is, how many resident dogs do you have that are yours?
None at the moment.
So you're just fostering. Okay. You're a rare breed. We're always looking for no dog foster parents. When the dogs are barking, sometimes it can help by just having each dog in their own area of the house, because they tend to feed off each other. One dog will start to bark and it'll set off the chain reaction. And then within each room, like, you can just leave on a TV, leave on some music, and, you know, start doing more fundamental crate training. It's a tall ask, especially since these dogs, you're just getting them for the first time. So they could be really feeling displaced and a little bit nervous and, like, you know, stranger in a strange land. So by just doing some remedial crate training, there's a DVD or a training system that I love by Susan Garrett. And she has a DVD called Crate Games that you can find online. And it is just a really fabulous way to teach crate training, as well as a couple of other really important behaviors, and teaching the dogs to, like, just be still and quiet, making sure that you have, like, stuffed Kongs or Chewies that they can work on in their crates. And, you know, the turnover happens so quickly so that when you get the next new dog, that dog might be causing the barking as well. It's really everything you know already, like being patient and just taking your time with each of the dogs, making sure that you're filling all their little peg holes, making sure they have ample exercise and brain work. A lot of times people will take a dog for a walk around the block for a functionality or whatever, and that little walk around the block is just going to ramp them up. That's like a warm-up for them. That's like Lance Armstrong riding his bike to the corner store to get a quart of milk. So the dogs are, like, all ramped up from a little walk, and then you're putting them away. So make sure that the exercise you're providing is a little bit deeper and profound so that they're actually physically tired. And then I would actually do some brain training so that they're mentally tired as well. And then that, coupled with a Kong or a Chewy, where they're having to lie down and be quiet in their crate and they're licking and chewing on something, can also help them just sort of relax after some good exercise and brain work.
Okay, I hope that works for you, Burr, and thank you for what you're doing. Sue in Green Lake, you are next. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead, Sue.
My question is kind of similar to the last one. We have a rescue who we've had for about a year and a half. She's a mixed breed. She was a stray on the street with four pups. So she was kind of independent, but she's turned out to be a real sweet dog, easy to train. The issue is she's now so attached to us that she gets nervous when we're gone. And so we've never had a dog like this before, where they go up on the kitchen table and food if we happen to leave it there. Or she went in the lower level and ate some starfish in a craft project. And even got my calendar and just chewed it apart and left it there for me. So we have tried putting her in the crate. I've never had a dog that had to stay in a crate before, so we did it for maybe 3 months, and I feel more comfortable leaving her out, but she's kind of started it up again. So we usually take her for a walk. We tell her that she needs to stay, and she seems to understand that. We leave treat balls out. She's still gotten into a few things. We have tried a half a Benadryl just to kind of chill her out. I don't know. You know, some people had suggested that. So I guess I'm just wondering if you have any suggestions for helping her be more comfortable at home alone.
How old is she?
She's 3 and a half.
Yeah, still on the young side of the spectrum. And what you're describing to me is not necessarily separation anxiety. This is more like, nobody's home, I'm going to eat a box of cereal. Right. This is like, nobody's there to tell her yes or no. And she's like, this feels good. I'm going to go explore and go around the house. True separation anxiety, you would see like scratching at the door, hypersalivation, you know, possibly having accidents in the house. And especially like when it comes to her stool, it'd be like a little bit looser from having a bit of a nervous or sour stomach. What you're describing is just a naughty dog. So using the crate is going to be your best bet. And you can put some yummy stuff in her crate so she feels better about being left alone. And one added little game I like to play around the crate is, just to help her feel better about the crate, is you give her something super yummy and you put her in the crate. A yummy stuffed Kong with variety of treats and stuff, or a Chewy or something. Then you leave the house for like a few minutes and you come back, let her out of the crate, but take away the yummy thing. Hang out for 15, 20 minutes, put her back in the crate with the yummy thing, and then leave again. So you coming back is almost like a punishment because you take away the yummy thing. So she's like, no, put me back in the crate. Get out of here. Leave. So she'll start feeling a little bit more comfortable about the crate. I wasn't sure if she was barking or anything while she was in the crate. I also like to collect data. You could even use FaceTime or set up a Zoom and just leave the camera on your dog and leave the house. So you can really understand like how long she's barking. If a dog barks for 5-10 minutes, that's not a big deal. It's if they're becoming frantic and nervous and becoming more and more anxious, that would be a problem. But I would definitely start utilizing the crate more because I'm not sure what those starfish were preserved with, for your crafting project. And, you know, they can get into stuff that could be potentially hazardous for their health. So keeping her in the crate is a great way to keep her safe as well.
Okay, thank you for that question, Sue. Ken in Rockland, what can we help you with?
I think you might have answered my question with the last couple of callers, but I'm in the middle of a crisis. We moved about a month ago, and new house, dog was staying in the house, was fine. Yesterday there was a thunderstorm. Dog does have separation anxiety when I leave, but is pretty good. I've watched her on a camera. She'll bark for a few minutes, and then she's good. But yesterday, she freaked out with the thunderstorm, got loose, didn't come back until 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, my.
And then today, I left, and I drive 20 miles to La Crosse. I got to La Crosse. My phone rang. Somebody found her on a highway about a half a mile from her house.
Oh, my.
So she immediately split after I left. They have taken her back to the house. And I'm actually driving back to the house now to see what the situation is and what I can do. Assuming I'm going to have to do a crate or something.
Yeah. And how did she escape your home? I'm guessing you didn't leave her out in the yard.
Great question. And I don't know the answer. We did not find yesterday. I assumed we have a screen door with a cat door in it. And I assumed she jumped up on the screen door and pawed on it and it
popped out.
Open.
Yeah. Yeah. So making sure, you know, just double lock everything, make sure there's no exits or entrances that she can create. And some dogs that suffer from severe separation anxiety will go through a window. So it's important that you really batten down the hatches. Excuse me. The other big thing is, again, like making sure that everything's locked down and then leaving her with stuff to do in the house. A lot of times if a dog has anxiety, they don't want to really eat, which is normal. And then making sure that you're, again, doing a little bit of training, keeping her brain juicy and moist and working can be really helpful to getting her mentally tired so she wants to rest. And then just to repeat the name of that DVD, it's Susan Garrett is the trainer, and the DVD is called Crate Games. It is phenomenal. It's amazing.
Okay. Good luck, Ken. I've gotten those phone calls because my dog Seamus likes to go jump out of windows, push open the screen, and
hangs out on the roof.
Well, he does hang out on the roof, which I don't have a problem with because he doesn't jump. People walking by are wondering what's going on. But sometimes if I forget just to open the window just a little bit, he can put his nose in and push it up. So check the windows too, Ken. So anyway, I know that it's scary, scary thoughts.
And you think about even that, like dogs are always puzzling stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they figure out how to
it's
get
like
out.
You either give them the puzzles to work on or they'll come up with their own puzzles,
true,
which generally doesn't work out well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Ken and his family's just moved to a new home. So is there something special, things that we should do when we move to a location?
You know, when I first moved here, I was working with somebody that worked in real estate, and we were developing packages for people that had dogs moving to a new location. Ideally, before the move-in or the walkthrough, bringing the dog there just to sort of see the new space and throw a ball for them in the big living room before any furniture's moved in, tossing treats in all the rooms, just getting the dog to say like, oh, this is going to be the new spot. And then when moving day actually happens, having a plan in action, like making a friend or a relative watching your dog while you do the big move, and then unpacking as much as quickly as possible, because the quicker you get settled in and all the smells from the previous residents are established in the home, the dog will settle in a lot faster.
Okay, great. Good luck, Ken, like I said. Mary in Neillsville, go right ahead with your question.
Hi. About 2.5 years ago, I adopted an older, small senior dog who lived her entire life in a puppy mill cage. Ugh. Never had any socialization. And it took me over 6 months before I could take her outside without putting her on a leash. And before she would hide under something, and we'd have to go pull her out to get her out. But now she is attached to me, and when I say she's attached to me, she is attached. She follows me from room to room. Any room I'm in, she has to be in that room. If I'm sitting down, she wants to be in the chair sitting with me, which is fine. But my problem is she was a quiet dog. She never barked. But in the last 6 months, she started to be, if somebody, I'm in the house and in a room, and she hears somebody come in our house, she puts herself between me and the entrance to the room we're in, and she starts to bark and bark and bark, and she doesn't stop. I usually have to go over and pick her up, kind of put my hand around her nose and just call her by her name and tell her to just be quiet, and she does calm down. But in the middle of the night, if my husband goes somewhere or something and somebody comes home, she starts barking on the bed, and the only way I can get her to stop is I have a little spray bottle with water, and I kind of squirt her a little bit, and then she'll stop.
Mm-hmm. So there's a fine line between, you know, and I think it's good for a dog to bark. Like if I'm ever away and my wife's home with the kids and the dogs, like I want my dogs to bark a little bit, but there's a line between a dog being frantically barking because they're scared versus them just alerting you that there's something going on. So two parts here. One is I would probably stay away from the squirt bottle because we want her to think that people coming over is good. So one thing I would have you do is if your husband or anybody else that lives in the home is leaving and they're going to be coming home, to give you a call or let you know they're coming home so you can be ready. Now, the moment that she hears somebody come in the house, and this is regardless if she's barking or not, you're going to throw a handful of treats on the ground, like right on top of her so that she's got to eat all those treats. Over time, and this is just Pavlovian classical conditioning, every time somebody comes over, she hears the noise and then you throw food. So she's going to start to learn that people coming in the house is a good thing. And if it's your husband and or anybody else that she knows and loves, they can also, once you open the door and she runs down to greet, they can also give her treats as well as a double layer of reward for people coming in the home. And especially, does she like your husband?
Well, no, when I'm home, when I'm not here, when my husband and I are both gone, the house is empty. And our son says he'll sometimes come into the house. And he said she doesn't make a sound. She stays hidden underneath her favorite chair, never comes out, never makes a sound. It's only when I, especially me, when I am in the house.
Right. So she's definitely bonded to you, and she's barking to possibly alert you and protect you. So one other game I like to do to sort of cut the apron strings a little bit is, are you familiar with what a Kong toy is? The little, it looks like a red snowman.
No, I'm not familiar, but I can get one.
It's the classic Kong toy, K-O-N-G, like King Kong. So this toy has a big opening and a little opening, and you're going to get some really strong string or rope and run it through the Kong. You're going to tie some knots on the larger opening side so that you have like a Kong on a rope. Then you stuff it full of yummy stuff, and then you freeze it. And then you tie it to a chair in another room. So you're going to hang out in one room, and she'll know that it's there. But for her to have that Kong, she has to leave you and go eat it in another room. And it's up to her if she wants to make that choice. But this is the way I like to start teaching dogs. I'll even just throw treats in different rooms of a house so that the dog has to leave the room that the person that the dog is so bonded to, they have to leave you and go eat these treats in another room by themselves.
Okay, well, it's definitely something to try out there, Mary. Good luck with that. We are talking to George Molara. He's a professional dog trainer and the owner of Divine Canine in Madison. If you've got a question for him, give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. And this is the Larry Mueller Show. We're talking dogs today. But before we go back to George with all of his wonderful advice, I'm here to tell you with Regina Barlotta. I'm so sorry. I keep getting your name wrong. It's an I.
It's okay.
Anyway, this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Nadeau. And you know, at WPR, listener contributions are the largest source of funding. Your gift keeps the programs that you value, including this one, on the air. So make your contribution now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You're a WPR listener, so I'm sure you agree. WPR is a valuable service for information, inspiration, and connection across Wisconsin. You know, Congress rescinded funding for public media last summer, but the mission of public media remains as essential as ever. And that means that your support is more important than ever. Let's keep WPR strong together. Join in right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, in a single month, there are hundreds of discussions on Wisconsin Public Radio. There is so much to learn, so many interesting people to meet, and topics to discover. So when you support WPR with a donation, you make all of those conversations possible. Take that simple, powerful step right now when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Sometimes you actually get more than you pay for, and WPR is one place where that is true every single day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
But you can't buy much with $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of the music, the news, the information, the fun that works possible. So that works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is, I mean, it is Wisconsin. I moved here from another state, and that was my introduction to Wisconsin. And every day, that's how I know what's going on in Wisconsin. On a monthly basis, I'm contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio. When I hear them talk about sustaining members, I realize that's me. And I kind of like that. Contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio makes you feel like you're part of a family or like a community. That's how I feel every month. And even if they're just giving a small amount, they could feel that way too. I'm Bridget from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation for this fall member drive. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Regina Barlotta. Join in with your gift right now because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
And it's $12 Tuesday, and we have a very special offer for you. Today only, ask for the WPR Canvas Backpack when you give $12 a month or more. Support the WPR programs that you value and add this functional and fun bag to your collection. Ask for yours now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Gary in Amherst says, I always learn things and am entertained by the Larry Mueller Show. I can't go through the day without sharing something I learn. Thank you, Gary. We really appreciate that. And if you agree with Gary, why don't you join him with your gift? It's powerful and really makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And our guest today, George Molara, really makes a difference, too, from all kinds of things, for volunteering and for helping you with your pet. And right now, we're going to go right to the phone, and Shanti has a question. She's in Madison. Go ahead.
Hi. My daughter has two rescues. One is close to 3 years old and is a Labradoodle. The second one has just turned one, has Since my daughter's had her head to have one eye removed due to a congenital problem, and then playing with a larger dog had one bone in her leg, or both bones in her leg broken. The problem is the dog has, puppy has always been a biting puppy, which we figured she'd outgrow. But last week she really bit me and broke the skin. So what can we do with this one-year-old bitey puppy to make her stop biting?
So a lot of times when dogs are mouthy, especially a year and a half old dog, they get mouthy because that's how they play with other dogs. And I'm so sorry she's been through so much in such a short amount of time, especially with the loss of her eye and two broken legs. Is she a toy breed? Is she small?
Yeah, she's like a small miniature poodle.
Yeah, those dogs, I mean, some of the smaller breed dogs are very fragile, so you have to be careful with who you let play, because a larger dog might just be playing and just sit on them or lay on them, and that could really cause injury. So I'd probably pick her friends a little bit more specifically to somebody that can play with her. Now, the second part to this is the biting part. The first thing I recommend is, you know, anytime she starts to get mouthy or starts to put your teeth on, you stand up and you walk away, or you stand up and just cross your arms and turn your back on her so that she realizes that if she gets mouthy, that she's not getting the attention that she wants. Now, the follow up to that is, you know, when I work with my senior community, a lot of seniors have thinner skin, so it might not be that she's biting that hard, but you know, as we get older, the skin gets thinner and it can easily tear. So you know, maybe accommodating, turn on your AC and put on long sleeves, and then, you know, just when you're interacting with her, make sure that she's, you know, any moment she puts her teeth on, you stand up and you cross your arms and you ignore. The takeaway here is we don't want to give her attention when she starts to get mouthy. Now, it is important for her to play and get that extra energy out, so finding those good playmates for her could be key. There's a wonderful, wonderful doggy daycare on the north side of Madison, on the east side of Madison, called North Paws, that my colleague Laura runs, and it is phenomenal for little dogs, and it's caters specifically to little dogs. So maybe putting her in a daycare a couple days a week might be a really great thing for her, just to get her yayas out and let her run around. And that might be helpful for her.
Okay, good luck, Shanti. That's so sad, that poor puppy.
Yeah.
I can understand why she probably isn't angry. Right? Oh, my gosh. A listener emailed us, and they're looking for advice on a lab mix who hates going to the vet to the point of sedation being recommended. Mm. Nail trimming and vaccinations create growling and intense insecurity.
Yeah. So whenever a dog has a lot of issues at the vet, it breaks my heart when people have to sedate their dogs. You can do a lot of the husbandry work at home. So you start off by just like touching their feet and doing like mock vet visits at home, where you just like touch their ears and you give them a bunch of treats, and you touch their feet and you give them treats, and you open their mouth and you give them some treats. You do all this handling work to make the vet's job easier. Now, depending on your vet's office, you can also call your vet and, you know, park your car near the vet's office, go for a walk. Walk in, just sit in the lobby, give some treats, and then leave. And each time you go, you can ask the vets and say, can I take my dog into one of the exam rooms? And then you just throw a bunch of hot dogs on the floor and cheese and let her eat them, and then you leave. So you have to sort of take away the fear in stages. And geographically would be the first place you want to take away that fear, just going to the vet. Because if you think about a vet exam, it's not really all that invasive. It's not that intrusive. Even vaccines don't hurt that much. It's the process of doing all those things. And you could even, you know, just like pinch her little butt and give her a bunch of treats just to emulate what a vaccine might feel like. The idea is that you do a lot of this training at home with all the handling, so that when you actually have the vet visit, it can possibly go a little bit smoother for you.
Okay, good luck on that one. I didn't get a name, so whoever you are. My vet does that all the time. I mean, when I take the dog in, that dog gets more food at that vet than he gets during the day, I swear.
And what's amazing is that there's a fear-free program that veterinarians can go through where they're not afraid to use food and use treats to get the dog to sort of settle down.
Yeah.
And they use really minimally invasive procedures when they're handling the dog, and they take their time. You know, they take their time with the dogs, and that can mean everything.
It certainly can. Let's see. I think we have time to take Mark and Nina with his call. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi there. I have a question. I've got a mixed breed Chihuahua that we got as a rescue. He's about 5 years old or so. We don't really know. And he tends to. The only thing I can think is he's defending the house. So when somebody comes over, walks up the sidewalk or rings the doorbell, he goes absolutely nuts. And then when people have been in, he's actually bitten their ankles. So he is an ankle biter. But anyway, so the only thing we've done with people who come over is, you know, have them sit down on the couch, have them have a treat or two to give him, and then he seems to settle down. But he's the most relaxed.
I think we lost him.
I think I got enough. I hope you're still listening for little Nina. Mina or Nina? So one of the games that I love to play with fearful dogs like this, because when anybody's scared of something, so let's say, Jill, you're scared of spiders.
Love spiders. How about cockroaches?
Cockroaches. Okay. Specific. Okay. I love it. So if I had a tank here full of cockroaches 10 feet away from you, your palms would get sweaty and you'd be all nervous and stuff. Where would you want the cockroaches? Not here.
No.
Right away. So, but what people do with fearful dogs is that they try to convince them that the thing isn't scary. Mm-hmm. And I could talk to you 6 ways to Wednesday, and you're like, no, I do not like cockroaches. So with our dogs, one of the games I play is called treat, treat, toss. So what you do with this Chihuahua, and I love that you're using treats, but you're going to bump those numbers up. 1 or 2 treats is amateur numbers. We want lots of treats. And the value of the treat matters, too. So think really, really luxurious treats. So you give the Chihuahua, I think I'm going to call her Mina. Was it Mina or Nina? Mina. So you're giving Mina 2 or 3 treats from the stranger's hands, and then you take the 3rd or 4th treat and you throw it way behind her. That's your distance. So she leaves to go get the treat. Now, we're switching her brain at that point from stranger danger to food acquisition. So what does she have to do to get more food? She has to come back. And you have this little loop of behavior of treat, treat, toss, treat, treat, toss. You're giving her a little decompression time when she runs away. She's getting the food, and then she has to come back on her own to receive more treats.
Mm-hmm.
From there, there's a couple of other steps, but that's going to be your jumping off platform. The other thing I recommend is making sure she's on leash so she can't go. Because what happens a lot of times is when there's a fearful dog, everybody sits down, has their drink, they're settled down. And then I get up to go to the bathroom and the dog's like, whoa, I didn't authorize this movement. Woo, 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 woo. So we have to make sure that by having her on leash, you can restrict her distance from being able to make contact. So what I recommend, though, is before somebody comes over. So if you're expecting a guest at 2 o'clock, from 1 o'clock up until 1:55, you're putting on and off the leash for a few minutes at a time so that your dog doesn't learn that leash means somebody's coming over. And we start to fade that into the process. And if you want that to be even more powerful on days when you're not expecting any guests, you put the leash on and off a couple times a day, mm-hmm. just so that the leash is not indicative of somebody coming over.
Sure, that makes total sense. Well, we are out of time for answering your questions. And thank you so much, George. We really appreciate you coming in.
Oh, I love being here.
George Malara is a professional dog trainer and the owner of Divine Canine in Madison. And he will be back again. So just continue to listen on this wonderful wonderful Wisconsin Public Radio station, and it is part of our fall member drive right now. And as always, your gift it makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Listeners have long been the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Until this summer, federal funding was also a piece of the budget pie. Not as big of a piece as our listeners, but still very important. Congress cut federal funding last summer, which means that your support is what will preserve public media in Wisconsin. And we can keep WPR strong together by when you make a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we just learned so much about dog behavior and how to make the dog and your life much better. This is the kind of stuff we do on public radio. We're here to help you and to make you sure that you're more informed, but know what's going on, get the truth. And WPR is listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that is right for you, take a few minutes, and make your gift.